Hey there, foreigners. This is Rohit from BreakingTheBorders.com, home of the ambitious immigrants. Today's guest is Lavesh. Lavesh is the founder of Learn Bhangra app, which is an innovative way to work out. It's an app that helps you sweat it out while having fun at the same time. Lavesh taught Bhangra for several years before he decided to make an app, a workout app out of it. Lavesh, welcome to Breaking the Borders podcast.
Thank you very much, Rohit. I am very happy to be here and speak with you.
I must say, before our interview, I thought I never tried Bhangra before, so I got to do it. So I started watching one of your YouTube videos and trying it out. It is really very intense workout.
It sure is. It sure is. Absolutely. Yeah. People have, that was one of our motivations to start it. You know, we found that people really, especially Bhangra dancers, really got an exercise, a workout from just their practice and from dancing on stage. And we realized there's something here. There's definitely a viable product. And that was one of the reasons we got into the fitness side of the market as well.
I see. So, let me start off by asking you, where did you get invited to perform this month?
Yeah, actually this last week, we were invited to perform at the, 2016 Rio Olympics in Brazil. So that was a nice opportunity for us.
Congratulations.
Thank you. How did
that work out? How did they reach out to you?
It was a little bit of us reaching out, and also, we found that, there was this company in India who was looking to, who was basically worked with the Olympic Committee before and had been asked to bring dancers, to Rio. They had done something similar in London. So we worked with them to set it up and provide dancers from the North America area. And we're going to meet with these dancers in India and put together a whole show, for the Rio Olympics.
I see. So it's not just Bhangra, it's different dance forms from India. Is that what it is?
You know, it was mainly actually all Bhangra. Even this, company from India, when he had done it in the Olympics in London, he had also focused on Bhangra. So it was a North Indian mainly focused kind of dance form group.
I see. So, mm-hmm. Bhangra is known around the world as a celebratory dance, right? So
yes.
It sounds very apt and appropriate for exactly. Like Olympics.
Right, exactly.
Yep. So before we get into the details about how you built your company out of it, let me just start off learning a little bit about yourself first. So when did you first learn Bhangra?
You know, it's funny. I was growing up as a kid. So I grew up in North Carolina in the USA. And, you know, growing up, we would have family parties and Bhangra was always played there. And my mom would go push me and say, go dance on the floor. But, you know, being a boy, many boys aren't really inclined as having dancing as their first sort of activity or hobby. So I would kind of sit out on the sidelines. But I would always have family members say, hey, you know, you're pretty good. You should actually try it, when they could force me on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. For a while, it was dormant, I guess, within me. But then when I got to high school, you know, I really had this chance to connect with the Desi culture. Growing up, there weren't really a whole lot of Desis besides my extended family that I grew up with. But in high school, you know, you got to a larger environment, and they found that in North Carolina, there were many, and the Desi scene was growing massively out there due to the high-tech jobs and that type of thing. So, you know, being part of this culture and now having this community, dance wasn't so much something that you didn't do. In fact, for many Indian and Desi kids, it's something that's very popular. So yeah. I got into doing Bhangra then because it was such a masculine dance form. It allowed you to be, you know, big, tall, proud. It didn't feel girly, quote unquote, in any way, right, for a boy. And so that's what really got me interested in it in my later years in high school, in 17, 18, about.
It made you feel powerful in some ways.
Exactly, right. And, you know, it didn't hurt that all the girls thought it was pretty cool that a guy did Bhangra. So that was
nice.
Motivation too.
That's nice. But when you were explaining this, right, so you mentioned something that you were staying on the sidelines, not just like physically, even metaphorically, because I've seen few of my cousins' kids, for example, they really want to like stay on the sidelines, especially with respect to Indian culture, because you are in this dual environment where at home it's one thing. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's I was very fortunate, like I mentioned, to have a big extended family, but that was very close by in North Carolina. But on the other token, when I went to school, when I hung out with friends, played sports, there were very few Indians growing up where I lived. So what happened is, you know, it was almost like you had this duality as two different lives you were leading as a kid, because at home you spoke your native tongue and, you know, you did all the cultural things that you would think of Indians do. But then your every day-to-day life that you're outside, your 9 to 5, so to speak, you know, as a student would be immersed with Americans, and there would be no Indian influence, you know, in your day-to-day. So it was definitely sort of an interesting time, but all that really changed for me in high school, because in high
I'm
school,
curious to know, when you were having that duality, right? Was there an aspect of you which wanted to not be involved in the Indian culture at home because that's not what people outside were like? I was more curious about that part of sitting on the sidelines at home.
gotcha. You know, for me, it was almost just like, in my head, I just separated the two. So it wasn't that there was shame or that there was, you know, any desire to be one way or the other. It's just you felt like you were living completely two different things, right?
I
At
see.
school, you acted one way, you put in one accent, you spoke in a certain way, and then when you went home, you know, your switch voice came out, and you know,
Got it.
you're so it was more that you just sort of had two different mentalities at all times of the day going on, right? And
Got it.
it wasn't
And
necessarily a bad thing.
got it. I've heard one someone describe a term called code switching.
Yeah,
And you
that's a
got to
good
do
way to put it.
that whenever you're home. For example, like I've been in the US. I was born in India, but I've been in the US for 8 years now.
Right.
And when I go back, I find things are very crowded. Everyone is trying to like get after you. So, but it's only lasts for a week because after a week, I just switch my code and I can be that guy in the overpopulated country and I won't get anyone get the better of me.
Very good. There you
But it
go.
takes a switching to do, which is what you were describing here as
Right.
well.
Right.
I see. So you started learning Bhangra by yourself, but things really changed for you when you met your coach.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So when I originally started learning Bhangra, you know, it was from DVDs, and back in high school there was no YouTube, you know, when we started. So there was these competitions, small competitions that were being run in the US in the collegiate scene when I was in high school. So I saw some of these DVDs. That's how I started learning. And then when I got into college, you know, YouTube started becoming much bigger. So that obviously made all these videos much more accessible. For the first few years, it
This
was
was
learning
around
from
2009 time frame, right? Is that right? Just to get some perspective.
From 2006 till about 2009, for
Okay.
those 3 years, I was learning from DVDs and YouTube and just watching, you know, what I could find on my own.
Got it.
But then, yeah, as you mentioned, you know, this that was 3 years of solid learning Bhangra and being able to, you know, kind of regurgitate what I did see. In 2009, my perception was really completely altered and changed, because I had the opportunity to meet my coach in North Carolina. So he had come over from India doing his PhD in agriculture, and North Carolina has a big agriculture presence. So when he started doing his PhD, we happened to meet through a mutual friend who was actually on my team too. I was teaching him Bhangra, and he said, "Hey, I met this guy who's from Ludhiana like me, you know," and he did Bhangra. And so when I met Gurinder Paji, my coach, you know, that really completely changed the way I looked at Bhangra, because now I was able to not only see the nuances of how every step was done, things that you couldn't see from a DVD, you couldn't see from YouTube, but it was the mentality that he brought to the table when he taught Bhangra, when he performed Bhangra, the way he applied the principles of discipline, respect, confidence into every aspect of his life. And that really is what I should say is the start of my Bhangra journey, because it was a whole different perception at that point.
Can you give an example of how your teacher would see a particular thing differently?
Absolutely. You know, one the biggest thing that ever stood out to me, I remember, is, you know, he always used to say that when you dance on stage, you know, you need to dance with such anger and confidence that when a judge looks at you should be able to look at them back and say, "Today I'm going to teach you how to do Bhangra." That's the mentality. And he told me that when he applied it to his everyday life, he was doing his PhD dissertation, And he told me, you know, Lavish, when I'm going into this thing tomorrow, or, you know, it was in a few days, in a couple of days, he said, that's the attitude I'm going in at, that everybody who's judging me, I'm going to look at them. And he used some words I can't really use right now, but he said, you know, I'm going to teach you guys. I'm going to show you how it's done. You're going to learn from me. That's the, it wasn't arrogance. It's the confidence and the anger you had. In Bhangra, they say, Josh nal pao Bhangra. That means perform with anger and energy almost viciousness, right?
I
That's
see.
the way that he also kind of looked at everything that was a challenge in his life. And that's what stood out to me.
How long did you learn with him?
I had the opportunity to learn for a couple of years. And unfortunately, from then he moved up north, and so we still keep in touch, but it was harder, you know, to it
Yeah.
was more just phone calls and not physical learning. So I had a couple years, about 2 years, to really like gather as much as I could from him.
When did you start your academy?
Yeah, so you know, going back to 2006 when I first started doing Bhangra, I found that there was the first, I believe it was the first Indian Dance Academy in the entire North Carolina area, and probably one of the first in the Southeast that they were starting. They just had a sign on their door saying, "Hey, we're looking to become an Indian Dance Academy." So I said, "Hey, well, you know, I've been doing Bhangra. Why not call them up?" And that's exactly what happened. I became one of the founding teachers. It was me and a Bharatanatyam teacher who had been there for, you know, she's a guru, so there's no comparison between her and I at that point. But I was lucky that, you know, with us three, the academy head and us two, you know, we are able to forge this long-standing partnership from 2006 all the way till almost 2016. You know, the academy head decided to kind of take a change of course after his kids grew up, and I moved to New York, and she moved as well. So you know, we had this academy established from that day with just one student, and grew it over time while I was in North Carolina.
I see. So even before you met your coach, you were already teaching at the academy.
Yeah, I was
So
fortunate.
yeah, one thing that is interesting though is example dance forms like Bharatanatyam and Kuchipudi and things like that, they're seen as the teacher to pupil kind of dance which is learned through schools. But
Yes.
Bhangra is a celebratory dance which you do in parties, right?
Right.
So, well, did you get any resistance to start this new dance form in your dance school or not really?
You know, it's funny you mention that because when people come in, they have the perception of exactly what you said. They want to either learn for fitness or they want to learn for being able to do something on the dance floor and not look like a dud, right? Those are probably the two reasons that people did come in. But what I wanted to do is I really wanted to make that academy. I wanted to start kids. I wanted to take kids and bring them into a competitive team, and then I wanted to make them teachers if they were interested. So I realized that for the first few years, it was a little bit of a struggle because I didn't really know how to do that. I only did what I saw and kind of replicated amongst other academies. But when my coach came in, that's what really changed my perception on that as well, because he brought that level of discipline to us, and the methods that people use, right? The way that you taught, always in a circle, no water breaks. These little things that he brought into it gave a disciplinary approach to it, and that's what really made our academy. So I realized that Bhangra, in fact, in India, in really at the roots level, at the academy level, at the university level, is done in the exact same fashion as classical. Your coach, your ustad, is your guru. You touch their feet. You touch the, you know, matha take the toll. All these different things that you would do in classical are very similar in Bhangra as well. And I think Bhangra has taken these from classical to help it evolve and help it improve as a dance form, especially within the competitive scene.
Ah, I see. And so, but your focus at this time, or in 2009 and post 2009, was it ever fitness, or was it always like academic in a way?
As we started growing, we broke out the side. So, you know, we always had our youth groups and our high school groups and our competitive team. But for the adults, for many of them, it was harder to commit to, you know, let's say a weekly schedule. So that's where fitness was great for us because for us, you know, we would make it a high intensity dance type of environment. And for the adults, as much as they could come, they benefited from getting that workout rather than, you know, Indians don't necessarily, back in that time at least, they didn't have this big desire to go to the gym as much as just going and dancing, right?
Yeah.
Especially with the older generation. So
Yeah.
that's where I think it worked out really well that after a couple of years, we started these fitness classes.
I see. So, yeah, even as a part of the academy, you were doing some of the
Yes.
fitness. But what happened on a Wednesday night in February 2015 while you were having a dinner with your friend?
Yeah, that's where the birth of the app came about. So one of my good friends, he's a software developer, and he was also living in Raleigh, and we just decided to grab dinner one night. And we were both at that point where we liked our jobs, we were happy with our career, but we had that itch to kind of do something else, and we were at a point where we could take on more time. So I was just mentioning to him that, hey, I'm doing this with Bhangra, and I'm trying to think of something else to do. I don't know if it's with Bhangra or without Bhangra, but I want to start a business on my side. And he had mentioned, yeah, I'm a software developer. I really want to use my skills to develop an app, but I don't know what idea. And I think it was probably Taco Bell we were eating. That's usually where we always went to. And that's when the idea hit, that, hey, why don't we start a Bhangra app? It wouldn't be too complex from a coding perspective. It's not a groundbreaking type of code that we have to develop or something like that. And luckily, I had the experience to be able to teach people. We could use video tutorials and kind of make this. So that's the Wednesday night it sort of hit, and we put all the wheels in motion, right? Getting the wireframes ready, ensuring that we had the development process down from the developers itself, from the graphic design, all the little things that go into what you would want your app to look like, making storyboards to say, if I'm a user, here's how I go from step one to step two to step three. And then from my side, looking at the business perspective, okay, who are we going to market this to? How are we going to actually make these videos? And getting into the whole nine yards of actually developing it. That process took about 6 months. Till when we launched the app in late October, November.
Is it the first time that you ever developed the app, so you had to learn the things that it takes to develop an app?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was the first time getting into any kind of complex project like this, I would say. Yes,
I
definitely.
see. So yeah, I tried developing an app with my wife in the past, and people told me there's something called wireframes existed. I learned all of it, but for the first timer, it can get a little overwhelming. As you said, there are a
Sure.
lot of little nuances. Right.
Absolutely. Yes. 100%
So did you
agree.
get overwhelmed also, or were you like, what kept you on course? Did you have a guide or mentor or something, or you were figuring out by yourself at this time?
Yeah, it was a mix of luckily the one thing, if I have one skill I'm good at, it's time management. So, I was able to put things together in terms of whatever we had to tackle, whether it was getting our lawyers to figure out the music copyright issues and make sure that we were safe there, or whether it was the actual development side, excuse me, to further it along with our development team, our developers, whether it was the business side. I always structured our day in such a way that, okay, from 5 to 8 or from 5 to 10, this is what we're going to focus on today. And the next day, this is what we're going to focus on. And scheduling everything down to the hour. But I definitely did need the mentors involved. And one of the big mentors that helped me out in the beginning, he actually has his own very successful app called In Our Food. It's INR Food. So his name's Cable. He actually was a doctor, still is a doctor, but he decided to launch this app that tells you all about what is an actually nutrition ingredients and what you eat. So the fact that he had created such a complex app that really delves into every single ingredient of every single product out there. He really knew about the development side and helped me put me in touch with graphic designers, developers, UI experts, all that type of thing.
How did you get in
And
touch with him?
luckily he was a family friend of one of
I
my
see.
cousins. So, they knew him well. They had said, "Hey, Lavesh, you're looking at an app." When I kind of mentioned it to my family, you need to talk to Cable about this. So, that's how we got in touch, and he was very gracious to provide his time
Yeah.
and be an initial coach that helped us get through the first stages for sure.
Yeah. Like you mentioned earlier, the app development itself may not be complicated because it's relatively simpler, though there is a lot of things to figure out. What
Sure.
was the basis was probably the higher quality videos which you were going after, right? So how did you get good quality videos for your app?
Yeah, you know that we one of our key things when we went into the app is our objectives was to establish such a high level of tutorial and video quality that we wanted to make that part of our kind of our advantage or our uniqueness to our app. So we actually hired a crew out of LA, and the way that ended up happening out of Hollywood was, I happened to have a cousin who was living out there who was in the Desi American film industry. So he had at that time he was a producer. Now he's actually turned into an actor, but at that time he had the capability to help not only run this entire production, but bring in the right resources. And he knew from an audiovisual standpoint, from the directing standpoint, how to make this thing happen. So I was very lucky that family played a big part into getting these developed. And my cousin, his name's Sean Dasani, he was able to really help make this thing flow, right? So that our entire video shoot was efficient and productive. We got almost all the videos done over a Saturday and a Sunday. Granted, we put in about 12-hour days, but we were able to produce almost 50 videos within really a big weekend, and that was all thanks to his direction and capability.
Yeah, I'm on Sean Deshani's webpage. He's an actor, producer, and speaker. It says that's him, right?
Yes, yep,
Yeah,
that's it.
I see. So, what is the Desi American industry like in LA? I've never heard of that term before, so I'm curious to know.
Yeah, there it's a lot of the actors that are in you can say some of the Desi American films like Dude, Where's the Party? That was one of the big ones. American Desi. These are all talking way back. I haven't kept up as much recently, so I couldn't tell you which ones are out there. But now it's transitioned to, you have Desi Americans in many TV shows, right? Big Bang Theory is an example, right, of Kunal in there. And then so this scene has kind of grown from being homegrown films that Desi Americans have produced in America to getting to network TV roles. Sean, in fact, has got one himself recently that's going to be starting soon. So that industry itself, since Sean had some of the contacts within there and had done some of work, small films kind of within there, is how he was able to know what was required to produce high-level videos. And that was one of his key things that he brought to the table.
So you developed the app, you got all high quality videos, and then you launched, right?
Yes.
How did the launch go?
The launch was I guess, at that time we didn't know what to expect, but in the first couple months we had by the end of the year, so just November and December, we had over 1,000 downloads. That was kind of where we were at. And that to us was, wow, there's 1,000 people out here who have our app. That's pretty cool to us, So I would say it was pretty successful. And it was also, I think, pretty successful considering we didn't really put a whole lot of money into the marketing side. It was all word of mouth, especially initially. We used a lot of friends and families to share on Facebook. A lot of personal messages were sent out, probably in the thousands. A lot of emails. So that's how we kind of initially started in that first month
The
to
academy
get.
too, right? So you had the academy at this time. Was the academy helpful?
Yeah, it was beautiful to see that the students that we had taught, and at this point now we had an academy that had been around, roughly 8 years and hundreds of students. They were so eager and happy to share that, hey, this is my coach, Lavish, starting an app. So within those 1,000 downloads really happened within the young demographic, the millennials, quote unquote, kids in middle school and high school that were spreading it everywhere, that were telling their friends. That's where the downloads really initially came from. And it was a blessing to see that, the kids that you had seen grown had now helping you grow on the other side, right? It was a
Yeah,
beautiful thing.
and you seem to have been very excited at that time because it was like your first project in a way, right? In the start of the scene. Were you
Yeah,
excited?
absolutely. Absolutely. It was my baby, and this was a chance to finally see it take off. So absolutely.
You told me about a time when you worked with a YouTuber during the
Yes.
launch.
Yep. So, after the initial launch, as soon as 2015 hit, so as soon as December hit, we said, okay, now we need to look at some more strategic marketing and what's going to give us the biggest bang for our buck. And we found that YouTubers had a huge ROI for us because they were basically the embodiment of word of mouth, right? Kind of through social media, through viewing. And they did it at some of them at least did it at a cost that was accessible to us. And some of them did it for free because they were also looking to grow and they're always looking for content. So there was one YouTuber in particular, you know, we just sent out a bunch of messages and reached out, but there was one in particular who was kind of our first success story, and that was his name's Kishan Tanna. He's a YouTuber out of the UK, and he was just kind of getting his channel started. He was a little further ahead than us, but you know, he wasn't at the point where he was huge yet. So it was good for him because he wanted to use our content. He was very willing to work with us. It was different from some of the stuff that he was trying. He was more of a, you know, a prankster using his mom's reaction videos type of thing. Pretty funny stuff he's got out there. But this was something different to show kind of, hey, how will people react to just doing Bhangra randomly? That was sort of the way he went about it, almost in a prankish way.
I see.
So, you know, he would tell them about. He would do Bhangra. He would have people do Bhangra on the streets, and he'd tell them about our app and show kind of their reactions and how they interacted. And so that relationship was great for us because it allowed us to get out there, especially in a new demographic in the UK where most of his viewers were. And for him, it was great because he had different content. Now he was getting into a dance form that was Desi. And so that was kind of our first win-win on a, you know, marketing partnership standpoint.
Yeah, I want to find a link to that video, but I'm not able to on YouTube. So I'll bother you after this interview so
Yeah,
that you
no
can send me
problem. I'll check it out.
the video. So things are going well. You are getting, and the YouTuber later you said became bigger, which also helped your app grow bigger later. So you
Yes.
have good traction. You got a good start. But then life is not always as straightforward, right? So what happened when you got a call from a lawyer about a legal, potential legal dispute at that time?
Yeah, you know, the one biggest thing in launching an app, especially a dance app, is, well, you have to have catchy music on the background, right? That's what people are going to be attracted to, especially people of all different races and cultures and ethnicities. You know, Bhangra music itself is what's popular. And so using that background music, you know, originally we did our due diligence. We talked to all the artists. We got the permissions from them, from many from the record labels, if the record labels had rights. But one of the artists that we, you know, were working with, gave us rights when he didn't really have the rights. So the record label, of course, decided to say, wait, you can't use all this music. You never got our permission. We have the rights to the music.
I see.
And
So it was
that.
that artist's music, but it was the rights were with the record
But
label.
the rights
So
were with the record, yes, which
I
is
see.
very common in the industry. That's, you know, typically how things usually play out.
I see.
So, you know, we that put us in a very bad spot because obviously the record label wanted their money. You know, we kind of had to put pressure on
Like,
the artists.
did you actually get a call from a lawyer or something? Like, how did that unfold? I'm curious
It
about.
happened all through YouTube. So
Okay.
on YouTube, they put copyright claims on all our content that had that
Okay.
artist's music. And that was very detrimental because not only were they saying we want monetization rights, we want your videos removed because you don't have any right whatsoever. So, you know, when you're creating a dance app that teaches you in a structured, systematic manner, and now you have to take out, you know, every third video, that's a big problem. It messes up your entire system. It messes up
Was
what's the
it,
video question.
what is that big? Was it every third video?
Yeah,
That's
you know, I believe 14 videos out of the, you know, 40 something we had created.
Oh wow,
About
that's
42,
huge.
it was really just a third, yeah.
Wow,
So
that's huge.
it was a massive problem for us. And so what we had to do was, you know, first of all, we had to negotiate with the record label. And we got to the point where we said, okay, you know what, using the Hindi word panga, you know, don't take panga with us. Let's just see what we can do to figure this out. And, you know, let's take 30 days for us to find new music. That was acceptable for the record label, which for us, I didn't know how at that point we were going to find new music in 30 days and get it edited and dubbed and back up on YouTube and the app where it was seamless to the end users. So, you know, that was our first kind of low where we had this huge challenge of being of replacing our music and not impacting users.
They were not willing to let go of the rights or at all, and you didn't want to give a share in the monetization in a way.
Right. And you know,
I
the
see.
royalties were so high that it didn't make sense for,
you know,
Oh,
for,
okay. It you
had to
know,
be a
second.
royalty. It didn't
Yeah,
matter how much you made. It was not a profit sharing or anything. It was a standard royalty. Oh,
exactly.
wow. Okay. I
Exactly.
got
So,
it.
you know, those can be very, very high, especially when you're a small startup. You know, we just didn't have the funds to do that. So, you know, I went into hyper emailing mode, and you know, I listened to a ton of songs, and I tried to figure out which ones matched with beats. And luckily, there was a you know there was three brothers. They're very big in the Punjabi community as well, and they produce a lot of music. Manmohan Bas is the main singer, and his two brothers, you know, they both do a lot of the production and sound engineering side of it. So I happened to reach out to one of the brothers. I said, "Look, you guys have a bunch of songs. Would you be interested in providing to the app?" And luckily, you know, if for them, I guess it was also a good growth opportunity to get into new markets. Our app wasn't focused on just Desis, but we had lots of, you know, non-Desis downloading it. So they gave us the rights to their songs. That happened within the first 2 weeks of that 30 days. Then I went to an editor, got all those songs, you know, that they gave us permission to. It was about seven. Over the, you know, about seven songs I was using from this other artist, dubbed in, edited the videos,
What do you
changed.
mean by dubbed in? Can you
Yeah.
tell me
So
more?
what we did is we went in our dance tutorials, you know, we performed the step for about 60 seconds on a song. We got that song from the artist that, you know, we had the legal
Oh,
dispute.
got it. So it is the before and the after, like you were
Exactly.
speaking. I was learning one step and you were telling me how you do the step, describe, and then the music, and then you describe more. So
Right.
the before and
Exactly.
after portion of the song.
Exactly.
Got
Exactly. So
it.
in the after part where you're actually performing it, that's where we eliminated, we took out all that sound and then put in the music from this new group of artists and Manmohan Bas's songs into the app and into the videos. And so we had to have an editor, you know, slightly play with the beats to match the songs to make sure that my voice and my actions didn't go off from what the song was doing. But that's how we ended up doing it, you know, paid for expediting that. And then luckily managed to get it launched within the app on the same day of our 30-day agreement to where it was completely seamless to the end user. So we uploaded all these 14 videos again, just changing that 60 seconds with different music on each song.
I see. That's very nice. So, I was curious to know when you put a new song, does it sync with the video like you're mentioning? How do you make sure that happened?
That's where it comes down to finding similar music and also having a good editor. And so, you know, that's where again Sean came into great play because he knew editors in LA, and there's so many there in the Hollywood industry who are able to, you know, have the good ear to say, okay, this song matches up right. I just need to change the beats just slightly in the song, you know, maybe just increase them 1 or 2%. And now Lavish's words and his dancing in the video match up very closely to what this new song is, right? And luckily in Bhangra, the beats in general, Bhangra beats are fairly similar. The toll beat is there's a basic chal that is prevalent in many songs. So this chal or, you know, tal, however you wanna call it, is basically able to be replicated if you're careful when you listen. And that's how we were able to take out these 14 songs and 14 videos that, you know, shared about seven songs within them and put in these new seven songs and lay it out throughout the new videos.
Got it. Yeah, that seems to be like very advanced editing skills
Yes,
right
I mean,
there.
I couldn't.
Yeah,
Exactly.
like I do a little bit of editing for my podcast, for example. I remove the noise, I remove the background stuff and all of those things, but changing the beats in itself
Yes,
seems like a very
it was
advanced
something.
version. And then, so you got into this dispute and you got out of it successfully, and you continue to grow the app on the side. But on there was one particular, and you started recording videos right at this time to
Yes.
make the app more popular, so that you can, you know, your YouTube videos
You
have more
mean,
shares and
yeah, choreo videos, exactly. So different from our tutorials, we saw there was this huge popularity in people just watching other people do choreo. So we started creating choreo videos as new and refreshing content, since we'd already created all our dance videos. You're exactly right. Yep.
what is a choreo video?
So, you know, originally when we launched the app, we created dance tutorial videos. It taught you one step. But, you know, we got to the point where after we had launched 6 months into the launch, almost 8 months into the launch, we didn't have new content because we'd already created these tutorial videos. So now what we did is we would take popular songs that would come out that month and we'd do little choreography. So just shooting it in New York or wherever I traveled, if I went to, Brazil or wherever it was, we would take these, we would play that song, do it outside somewhere where it was, a popular location, and just put together a couple of the steps from the app into a little choreography. And then that's what we started producing on our YouTube channel. And that's a never ending thing. We can always do that. The content will always stay fresh because there's always new music, always new steps type of thing. And that became what we kind of made as our new content within the app.
And there was one choreo video which became extremely popular, which was
Right.
679 by Fetty Wap. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so there was one weekend where I'd actually moved to New York in late 2014, right when I about launched the app. I moved to New York for my outside of work career, or outside of the app career, I should say. And
From North Carolina, right?
yes, exactly. I moved from North Carolina to New York City, and there was one weekend where I went back to New York City, and I'm sorry, back to North Carolina, and I met up with my academy kids and we said, hey, why don't we shoot some of these choreo videos for the app? And, so we, in about an hour, I only had 60 minutes before I had to go, hang out with family, do all the stuff for that weekend. We made about three, I think we made four videos in that hour. And one of them, we said, okay, let's do it to a non-Bhangra song. What's a popular song? We all liked hip hop. So the Fetty Wap's 679 was really popular. And in 5 minutes, I kid you not, in 300 seconds, we came up with some quick choreo. We did two takes of it. We messed up the first take just because we were laughing at each other too much. And in the second take, we did it, we shot it, and we were done. And later in about a couple of weeks, I just put the video together, wrote the move names, which is something I always did in the choreo to kind of tie it back to the app. Here's where you can learn this step. That's how kind of our unique choreo videos were. And I woke up the next day after posting it and found, it had thousands and thousands of views and likes, and the shares were already in the hundreds after 24 hours. And that video ended up going so viral, it made a BuzzFeed article. So that was our first taste into virality and trying to manage that whole process.
Wow, what is viral? Like, how many views did it have?
So till date, the video has about 13 million views on Facebook alone. And that's spread amongst a couple different shares. So on our page, it has 1 million, but then there was another person or page who shared it that garnered by himself about 12 to 13 million views. So, in the first few days, it had already gotten to the over the million standpoint. Just that, I think what's considered viral, most people consider about 1 million views.
I see. Yeah, this is way beyond viral, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just on your BuzzFeed article, which says that the internet can't stop sharing this 30-second clip of guys
Right.
doing Bhangra to Fetty Wap 679.
Right.
Nailed it.
Yep,
Nice.
exactly.
And that must have helped you even further, right? The article itself must have helped you even further with the more views. And
Yes.
that. So, how did it help with the app in general?
Yeah, it was two really big ways. So, number one, we went through every comment, every share, basically every interaction with that had to do with that viral video, we dug into it. And we commented on a lot of people's posts because what a lot of people were saying was, wow, this looks like a workout. We want to try this. Is there a class for this, right? So we decided at that point to actually launch a whole second page within our app. One of the things we didn't mention before is we actually have a monetized channel called the Bhangra Workout. So the app is free. You can learn the steps for free, but we have another button within the app, which is really a 30-day paid program. So you pay to access these additional videos. And these additional videos combined with the instructional videos are put together. You can either download the Excel spreadsheet or you can even from the app itself send you daily reminders of what steps you're supposed to do. But for 30 days, you follow this fitness regimen. It's less than 30 minutes a day, and you do these steps combined with this workout video. These steps combined with this workout video. And so over 30 days, you get to the point where you're learning your dance, but you're doing it in a very high intensity, rapid format to where you're just doing straight choreo routines at the end. So the Bhangra workout was our fitness arm. And we decided when this thing went viral, now's the perfect time to launch that page, launch the social media for the Bhangra workout.
So until this time, you didn't have the workout portion. You were just teaching the free app.
We had just been focusing on growing Learn Bhangra app from a social media perspective. Exactly. But when this thing went viral, on every comment, we linked it back to the Bhangra workout when we launched this page. So it was great because it became the, you know, the catalyst to help growth on the fitness side. And now we had a forum through social media to speak fitness purely as well. Learn Bhangra app is now just dance, but Bhangra workout is now just fitness. And we kind of had these two brands now. While they were brother and sister, they were also, you know, spreading parallel in their own directions. And that's what the virality helped us get to.
I see. I love how you took the viral video and not just be excited about it, but actually made something, a business case out of it, you know. So that I love that approach. It's a move of a true businessman, I would say. Right? And I love it.
You know, I looked at it and I said, well, if we've got all these viewers, I better do something with it, because I would feel really bad at the end of the day if we got 13 million views and nothing came out of it. So that was one move. But we're also very fortunate that it got us a lot of gigs. Mm-hmm. You know, we had people that wanted to learn for their own, you know, weddings, or they just wanted to learn on their own. So they contacted us and we got thousands of dollars worth of gigs just from teaching people privately. People who are looking for classes, and we connected them with our brand ambassadors who were located in certain areas, or instructors that we had good relationships with. You know, so it was really good to use that virality and not only connect people, but then also launch the second brand of our company, the Bhangra Workout Side.
Was it two different tabs in the same app, or were they two different tabs?
Yeah, it's two different buttons. So when you download the app, you'll find that there's... Yeah, it's one app, and you find that there's multiple buttons. There's Learn the Steps, which is the first button. And then there's, you know, a couple other features, which are you can upload a video of yourself dancing. Yeah. There's one where you can request a lesson. So that's where you can input your info and it comes to us, and we respond back if you have, you know, some kind of lesson that you want, or private tutorial. And then there's the Bhangra workout. Those are the four buttons on the app right now.
I see. You mentioned earlier when we were talking that you had a challenge in development that impacted your paying customer at this point, yes. Right? What was it?
Yeah, you know, so as we went along, as more and more users happened, we decided to, from when we originally launched the app, completely change the UI, UX of the app, especially with these new features. One of the new features was this requesting, you know, form that we allowed. We also revamped our upload your videos to look much cleaner and simpler than what it was before. So when we added this, and also the Bhangra workout, we added this reminder feature within the app, which had to sync to your calendar. When we added these features, we decided, okay, this is about 8 months, almost 9 months into the app, we decided to revamp it. When we did that, what happened is, you know, we had some development challenges with like syncing with the calendar. That was one of the big ones. And so it caused functionality issues within the app itself, which really hurt our in-app purchases, because people were trying to purchase it, but they weren't either able to log in correctly, or they weren't able to sync it correctly to their calendar. And that definitely led to a negative experience. You know, there were some negative reviews on the app store. You know, our development team was working to try to figure it out. I was obviously screaming at them day in, day out to try to get it fixed. But our trajectory you know, purchases was definitely on the upward rise. In fact, I would say it was almost getting exponential, especially after the viral video. Mm-hmm. That really gave it a big hit, because, you know, now people weren't interested. They were frustrated with the app because some of the features like that weren't working correctly. And it took a few months for it to really run back to where we wanted, but, you know, we lost a lot of that growth momentum that we had, and kind of had to start over. So that was definitely a low point, from the revenue standpoint of the app.
What downloads were you at this time?
At that point we were close to, you know, close to, I'd say roughly 20,000 downloads. So after we went viral, and that day alone, we went up, you know, in the course of 2-3 days, we went up like 4,000 downloads. So that got us right at about roughly the 20,000 mark. this happened a few months after that. So, you know, a little after the viral video. I think it was probably June, maybe May, June when we started having these issues. So we're around the 20,000 mark or hovering around there.
I see. So, how many people were working on the app as such? So you mentioned the development team, right? So I'm curious to know what was your team like apart from you?
Yeah, when we originally started, so it was myself and Sandeep, you know, who is the software developer, the CTO. And as the app progressed, we brought on, you know, more and more people. So we brought on one person who was a former dancer, who I, you know, coached back in the day. She was really interested in the project and she helped in with all the admin work. Later on, we brought along a marketing officer. And a couple of people changed, you know, here and there, but we brought in a marketing officer position who was, you know, the focus was just on growth and figuring out partnerships and different ways to spread the app. And then one of the other big positions, sorry, one I should mention is social media. We brought in a couple of people on social media because that in itself was a different side of marketing. But then one of the big things we did is start a brand ambassador program. So, you know, whenever I would travel for workshops, which we can talk about in a second. Or, you know, whenever people would contact us about the app and they were just interested in getting involved, we created this program to where we would have the face of the app in the local area, in their local territory. They would become our brand ambassador. And so their job was to attend events and basically talk about the app, promotional materials, you know, sell t-shirts, all that type of stuff, as well as help bring me out there for workshops in that area, to help spread the face-to-face, you know, feeling of the app as well. So we got to the point where today we're at a total of about 12 people on the app team. We have that core group that I mentioned, but then we also have about, you know, 8 to 9 brand ambassadors at any given point all around the world who are basically spreading the app locally at a grassroots level in their area.
I see. That's a very innovative way to spread it because you are focusing on someone who's local and
Right.
they're going to a local event, right?
Right,
That's a
exactly.
very interesting way. So you mentioned about the workshops. Tell us about it. What is the workshop actually?
Yeah, so what happened is after launching the app, you know, what came out of that was people, as the Facebook page and, you know, Twitter and Instagram grew, people had the chance to interact with us, right? And what they did is when interacting with us, many people would say, wow, I wish you were here. I wish you know, were able to teach us in person. And these are people that either had academies or Bhangra teams or, you know, were very interested in Bhangra specifically and wanting to develop their own side. So my first workshop came about from Mexico City, in fact. There was a, oh, she's actually now one of our brand ambassadors and a close friend of mine, but, there was this group, Viva Bhangra by Aline. She was a local Mexican and she had somehow, you know, just gotten into Indian dance. She'd fell in love with it, you know, seen it done somewhere on YouTube. And she had started her own Bhangra team. And she had basically invited me to teach a full on, you know, intensive weekend of just Bhangra workshops. So from there, that launched and started me traveling around the world to actually do these Bhangra workshops. You know, I would go for basically a long weekend to locations, sometimes in the US, sometimes out of the US. And now where I'm at the point to where I'm traveling once a month, either local or internationally, and conducting a Bhangra workshop somewhere with somebody that has the interest.
I see. You seem to be going for the upcoming September long weekend somewhere as well. I'm on your Twitter page. From Rio
Yeah.
to Colombia, Lavesh is in Bogota this
Yes.
weekend. So you're going to Bogota and Colombia in the next weekend.
I am, in fact, yep, this weekend I will be in Colombia later this year. I'll be in Chicago and then India as well. We'll actually be doing one in Delhi and then rounding it off with Malaysia and Singapore in November as well. So it's been great, and I've been able to travel across South America. I spent a week in Argentina doing workshops, Mexico a few times, now Colombia. I've had the chance to do it in India, you know, multiple in the US. And now, you know, we're looking to just kind of expand wherever people are interested all over the world.
I'm looking to your website. You should have the link there for workshop schedule. I don't
Yes.
see it in there, and it's been,
We're
yeah,
actually revamping our website in just 2 days. It'll look completely different.
Oh
So
yeah, okay. By the time this video is out, you will have the
you mentioned
link.
it. You mentioned it on, yeah, you nailed it, that there will be a schedule out there. Yep.
Perfect. So, what is next? What is next for you as a person? Like, we didn't, one thing we didn't talk about it. You're doing all of this while doing a full-time job
Yes,
in
sure
corporate
am.
America, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, how do you see this growing, for the next few years?
Yeah, one of the things I really want to get into is the media side of things, right? Getting in film, TV, that type of thing. I think the ability to spread Bhangra through that medium is huge, and I also think that's a lot of growth opportunity for the app and for me personally as well. So we definitely want to continue the workshops. I think those are huge. I enjoy them almost more than anything else because you get to meet people who have the same passion as you. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. But in continuing growing the app, through automated marketing and utilizing our CRM and that side of it and the workshops, the other side is really growing the FaceTime in front of people with TV and movies and getting into choreography and that type of thing. So media is one side. The other side is the fitness side. We really know there's a huge opportunity there. There's no secret that the fitness industry is massive and it's been growing massively over the last few years. We really want to capitalize on that, utilizing again folk Bhangra. We don't want it to be where we water down what we do. That was one of my key things when I started that, my coach taught me this style of Bhangra, and that's what I really fell in love with. I want to continue to only proliferate that type of Bhangra, right? Which is, well, everybody has their opinion of what's authentic traditional, but at least in my view, what I feel is authentic traditional from what I learned from my coach, that's what I want to spread. So we want to do that within the fitness realm as well. So growing to, an instructor-led program, in gyms all around the world. It is definitely a big thing that we're going to be focusing on in the next 6 months, year time frame.
Yeah, I wish you all the best in that growth trajectory, and we'll keep tabs on you and hope
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate
that
it.
you succeed, and wish you all the very best from our side as well.
Thank you.
This has been such a blast, Lavesh. Is there anything that I didn't ask you? I should have.
No, I think we covered everything. I appreciate your time and everything. And one thing I have a request of you is I want to see your Bhangra videos now. I think it's time for you to show the world your skills. So definitely looking
That's
forward
it.
to seeing Breaking the Borders as Bhangra video come out soon.
Absolutely. So you challenged me live, so I have to do it now. And
There you
I
go.
just started learning the few steps, and I found it very much easier than a normal dance. In the normal dance, you need a lot of grace.
Yes.
Bhangra, I mean, I don't know if it's a bad way to say it, but you don't really need a lot of skill as such. As long as you're following the beat and following the steps, you can actually look very good, which I thought was a very interesting observation. I've been trying Bhangra since I talked to you in the pre-interview about a
Yeah,
week
yeah,
ago,
yeah.
and I've been loving it so far, and I'm going to try the workout. I just made a mental note, and
Yeah.
I'll do it live, which is I will go through the 30-day workout session, and I'll send you a video at the end of 30 days so
Awesome.
that you'll see a best progress version of me.
Yeah, and you're six packed up and
Six
go off,
pack.
so that's your goal.
Thank you so much, Lavish.
Absolutely, Roji. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it, and thank you to all the listeners.
Thank you for tuning in. To get updates on latest episodes, make sure you subscribe with your email by going over to breakingtheborders.com. If you know anyone good as a guest, shoot me an email. I will reach out to the guest, get hold of them, and ask them all the questions that you have. My email is rohit@breakingtheborders.com. Thanks again, and have an amazing day.